The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 341. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very, very much for checking out this new edition of the PVD Cast. In a couple of days, the WWE will put on their summer spectacular, their huge pay-per-view event, or whatever they're calling them nowadays, SummerSlam. Because it's one of the big four events that the WWE put on throughout the year, you know that I gotta have the pro wrestling pundits come and talk about their ideas, their insights, their opinions, their predictions, etc., etc. So, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand will be sitting down with me. We're gonna preview each of the matches, and then we're gonna give our unfiltered opinions and predictions on what we think will go down in Nashville this Saturday night. But before we get to that conversation, I need to talk about a small little thing that I gave a hint about last week. And I stated last week that if you paid attention to some of the social media outlets for the PVD Cast, for Matt Talk, for Three Geeks Podcast, you would learn about a project that's being launched. As a matter of fact, it launched this week. Myself, Jason, and Justin from the Three Geeks Podcast, we are proud to announce that we are launching a Patreon for the Hollywood actor Larry Hankin. Now, to give you a little brief history of this project, we have to go way back to 2020. Larry Hankin had appeared on the Three Geeks Podcast, and during that time in the pandemic, I was joining Three Geeks on the reg, and we talked to him, we had a great conversation with him. And within a matter of maybe a month or so, he returned on Three Geeks Podcast, and then he pitched this idea of working together with us on a little project. And so we started doing that. We started shooting kind of a documentary, if you will, on Larry's life and career. And there's been some twists and turns with it. I'm not going to bore you with all those details. All I'm going to say is go over to patreon.com/LarryHankin. Check out what we have over there. We still have some free previews. We have a few tiers that you have to pay for. And look, I'm also going to be 100% honest. Justin, Jason, and I are not wizards when it comes to Patreon. As a matter of fact, I've never even messed with it before. Jason has a little bit of knowledge behind it. I don't think Justin knows too much about running a Patreon either. So we're doing this and we're learning as we go. So if you like what you see and you donate your money, please, please don't think that we're trying to screw you out of your money if it takes a little bit of time to get a reward to you. We're learning as we go, but we're very excited. We're going to have all the tiers up by this weekend because there's going to be four of them, and I think three of them are up, but you can still check it out. Again, just go over to patreon.com/LarryHankin. Check out the free previews, so to speak, and if you have any questions, you can email us LarryHankinPatreon@gmail.com, and we'll get right back to you. Like I said, it's a new endeavor for the three of us, and we're really excited, and I want to thank Larry for giving us the opportunity to do this and for trusting us to do this. He's a good dude. He's got lots of wild tales and lots of cool stories, and we can't wait to share them all with you through that Patreon. Once again, patreon.com/LarryHankin. Additionally, I'd like to remind you about another project that I spoke about on the last episode. That is the Kickstarter for Sean Forney's comic, Scarlet Huntress. He is wrapping up the book. He's got a Kickstarter to help fund the last tale of Scarlet Huntress. 48 pages, all color. Yes, it is fully funded, but there's plenty of cool perks to jump on. for the campaign as they still have, I think, another couple of weeks left, but help Sean unlock some cool stretch goals as well. If you're interested and you want to support, just go over to Kickstarter.com and search for Scarlet Huntress or Sean Forney, S-E-A-N-F-O-R-N-E-Y. And there you go. You can go ahead and support the project if you like. All right, with that, now, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that this podcast, the PVD Cast, is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of single-issue comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system, a friendly staff, you name it, they got it. I know I'm rambling a little bit about World's Greatest Comics, but you need to check them out. Again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online, wgcomics.com. And they're even pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear the pro wrestling pundits and I talk about this weekend's SummerSlam event. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, so that we can preview SummerSlam, which is happening in just a few short days. Ringside Rand, how are you?
Life is good in the Golden Ghetto. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I don't know. I got a butler. I live in the Golden Ghetto.
DJ Joey Blaze, you look like you're in pain after that dad joke.
I'm just impervious to dad jokes, is what I was going to say. I don't know where we were going with that, but I guess that's how we're going to start it off.
Well, you know what? I think one thing we should probably state real quick, and I don't think this has happened on the PDV cast in quite a while. Ringside Rand and I are having a very nice adult beverage. it's a little glass of The Rock's signature tequila. Terramana. And it's very smooth. What do you think, Ram? Be honest. What do you think?
I like it. I'm normally not a real big tequila guy, but
same
I like
here.
This.
Same here. Same here. Not a big tequila fan, but I like this. Props to Jeremy Madrox for cluing me in on this, by the way. Just going to throw that out there real quick. This is smooth stuff. And this is not in a commercial for this tequila, unless, Dwayne, you want to. Hit
me
up. We
know he's listening.
That's right. And we know you're listening because it's the preview of the SummerSlam that's coming up. I know. Just, you know, you can DM me. We can work something out.
Oh, so is that the drink you said you're offering to your landscapers? Is that what you were talking about?
No, I don't have landscapers. Remember, they got furloughed. Oh. I haven't called them back yet. Okay?
That pandemic ruined a lot of good stuff.
I know. I offered Spencer his job back in research, and he said no. He had found another gig.
Apparently, catering is no longer with us either.
No longer with us because they're not employed. Not that I killed them or anything like that. So
yeah, I saw Spencer tweet something with the hashtag micropenis. So I don't know if that's what he's doing right now or what. But good for him.
Anyways, we are here to talk about SummerSlam to give our thoughts as to what we think might go down this weekend. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about each and every match so far as they have been booked. We still have a SmackDown happening on Friday, but we'll cover that. If there's anything that comes out of SmackDown, we'll cover that on the review episode. So we're going to kind of go through these, talk about what we hope might happen, and, you know, as I said, next week we'll review and see if we were right or wrong on those predictions.
So did you predict that you would hear the term micropenis today?
Actually, no, I did not. And
okay, that's good.
Yeah. So I don't think any of those DraftKings online betting places
had that
either.
You just keep trying to drop all these potential sponsors?
That's right.
How can you bet on professional wrestling?
Oh, we know some people that do.
Yep. Yep. So you're a degenerate like some people.
That's a harsh term.
And
well, if you're betting on pro wrestling, you're in the Pete Rose neighborhood.
All right, so here we go, ladies and gents. Let's get things going. Let's start off with the last match that was booked coming out of the events of last night on Monday Night Raw. The Mysterios will be taking on the Judgment Day. It is a no disqualification tag team match. Joey, let's start with you. Your thoughts on this match?
I don't know, because like we've seen it how many times now? This is like they've booked this tag match a couple different ways, and they had it, you know, do it last night. Now Rhea Ripley's back, and she. So are they either going to turn Dominic, or are we going to see the return of Edge? Are we going to see Bray Wyatt in the mix? I think with Triple H being where he's at, and him and his large nose being in charge, like it opened, it talks about a forbidden door, but this opens the front door for welcoming talent back. I think there's a very real chance that we see some interesting twists with this match. I think there's a very interesting chance we see a new member of Judgment Day. Is it Dominic? Is it somebody else coming in? I don't know. Does somebody, is there like a turn, like a double turn, or there's a turn with Dominic and then somebody comes to save Ray? I don't know. I don't really have, we were talking about cop-outs earlier, I don't have a prediction because they've talked about turning Dominic for months and it hasn't happened. So I'm in terms of just a giving prediction, I'm going to predict the Judgment Day beat the Mysterios.
Okay. Ran, what say you?
Last night during the 20-year celebration of Rey Mysterio.
Who in the hell were all those people? Seriously, it's like, okay, like WWE went out and they wanted to get, let's get extras to make them look like they have Hispanic heritage. I had no idea who in the blue F
half
of those people.
I have the question as to, everyone was dressed very impeccably except for the one guy in the Mets jersey. I'm like, why was that guy wearing a Mets jersey?
It's like they had every single different, like...
stereotype?
Yeah, well, they had the really well-dressed older guy, and then they had... And then, well, they had Ray's hot-ass daughter on there, too, but, you know, like... that was just weird. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that whole thing, like, why don't you put people back there that make a difference? Like, he named Conan. Why not bring in Conan?
Yeah.
You know, why can't he be back there?
Or Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, bring in a couple guys and put them back there. I don't know. This must have been one of Vince's last, which I want to touch on some things about that later. We go back to that. But anyways.
The way Dominic was hovering behind him, I kept thinking, anytime now, he's going to clobber him from behind
right. And
join. I kept thinking that not only in the ring, but also backstage.
I think the boat has sailed on turning him heel. I think they've given up on that idea. I think that...
I feel like they're trolling us with it. Now, they put that out there, and now they're just going to, you know, hey, guys, go out there, act like you're going to do it at times.
Yeah.
Just kind of...
Is there somebody who would seem to be a friend of the Mysterios who comes out, turns on him, and then joins the Judgment Day?
I don't know.
Because they're outnumbered 3-2.
Right. Is there a female to jump in? Are they going to put Aaliyah in that role as she will come out to try to neutralize Rhea Ripley?
I don't think that would neutralize. You need somebody out there that's a badass to neutralize Rhea Ripley.
All right. Duly noted.
Who's the really tall girl on SmackDown?
Raquel Gonzalez.
Would she be enough to equalize Rhea Ripley?
Yeah, she'd be enough to equalize me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, she certainly would be. But I mean, she's on SmackDown. I know that doesn't matter. I know.
That's
but
a vague term at this point.
It is. It is very much so. I don't know. I personally feel, and my prediction is, I feel we see the return of Edge, and he screws over the Judgment Day. And then we spin off with Edge and Finn Balor and Priest, and the Mysterios go off on another, you know, feud with somebody else, or Dominic starts his solo career while Ray is in the background. I see the Edge somehow comes out in the middle of the match or towards the end of the match when the Judgment Day are almost ready to win and causes them the match.
Here's one for you. What if Ray turns on Dominic?
Ooh.
I'm tired of carrying you.
Yeah.
Grow up, be your own man.
And the whole... Seriously. And because Rey Mysterio's never kind of been like a hardcore heel. He had his run as the Filthy Animals, but they were kind of tweeners, right? Like, he's never been like a heel.
Yeah.
So why not, you know, mix it up like that?
Maybe. That's a good point.
I mean, they were feuding with Finn Balor, beating his ass, and all of a sudden he joined them. So...
I've really been impressed by Damian Priest lately.
Yeah, I think he's
really developed in the last three
or four months. Yeah, exactly. I agree with you, Rand. I think in the last 3 or 4 months, he's stepped his game up. That he's getting more comfortable. He understands what the character is, and he's doing a great job. And I think pairing up with Balor and Ripley, I think, was also very smart. And Edge, originally.
Well, I really enjoyed the music of his sibling, Maxi Priest. I think that's always nice. But no, I totally agree with you. I think he's really... they're finally developing a character for him. Like, he was kind of lost with that playboy, but I'm a badass, but I like a bow and arrow every now and then. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm glad that's gone. And they have character development for him, and it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to build from.
And I would like to see the Judgment Day go for a title shot and win the belts and run with them for a while.
I would honestly, we're in a day where we like to have mixed, you know, intergender matches. Why not have like maybe Priest and Rhea Ripley do it?
Yeah,
she's a big bad woman, man. I just wanted to throw that out there. What if Rey?
No one would see that coming.
No.
So that would be a shock and a twist. I don't know if they do it, though. I don't know if they have the balls to do it.
What's Rey doing?
Nothing.
He's just there.
Yeah.
You know, that way he's in a program with the son, and you could carry something like that, and he could teach a lot with his son being in a program.
True.
I like something like that. I think that would be fun.
I think it's a good idea. Rand, who do you think wins, by the way? We didn't get your prediction for the victor of the
Judgment Day.
Okay. All right, so you and Joey agree with Judgment Day. I'm picking the Mysterios. All right, we shall see what happens with that match. Let's move on to the, quote, celebrity match, so to speak. I don't know if that's true anymore, since Logan Paul did sign a WWE contract.
Yeah,
so
he's
officially under contract. So I withdraw that statement, Your Honor. Logan Paul versus The Miz. Rand?
You know, they kind of broke the fourth wall last night where they were fighting as the show came on.
Correct.
Which was a really nice twist, because if you're really after somebody, why wait until...
the cameras are rolling.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, now I can go after you. If you're going to go for realism, and hopefully we haven't completely killed kayfabe, it was a good start to that show.
The story is behind that hot start is that they were afraid that Logan Paul would get booed in New York City. They feared that, and reports were, let's not give fans a chance to boo him. Let's jumpstart this bad boy right out of the gate, and you know people will be into the fight, not so much as to like characters. The characters or some type of silly interview.
So, I know I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers. It's not a popular take. I'm impressed by Logan Paul. I think that he's learning fast. He's already done this with boxing, so he gets the whole, let's build a feud. And a lot of people were shitting on him because of who he is, and he wears the Pokemon card around his neck, you know, and he's this, he's that. But... I'm impressed with him, and I think putting him with The Miz, again, you know, having a program with somebody that, you know, a lot of people shit on The Miz too, but The Miz is a pretty damn good worker. He's never been injured. He doesn't injure anybody.
True.
So, you know, I think this is a feud that's not just going to end at SummerSlam, and I'm actually going to take Logan Paul.
I agree with you, Joey, and I'll be very honest. I was unaware that people were shitting on Logan Paul. Because he's an athlete. He's got an athletic background. He is an athlete. And so that's checkmark number one when you're looking at making a WWE superstar, in my book. Athletic, checkmark. All right. Is he charismatic? Checkmark. I don't know if being a babyface is the best way for him to be introduced. I still think Logan Paul's he's a heel. He's a natural
heel. I think he can be, but in the nature of... you signed him because he has such a social media following.
Mm-hmm.
Those people obviously don't hate him.
Right.
So make him the baby and run with it a little bit. And he'll turn, but, and I'll steal a term from McAfee, he's for the brand. He's for his brand. And his brand probably requires him to be a baby face, I guess, right now.
You know, The Miz and Logan Paul are two guys who came into this business completely unusually.
Yeah. not the usual
path. The Miz came in through MTV, mm-hmm. Tough Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Paul, in this time, is using social media differently than anybody else has.
Mm-hmm.
There are wrestlers who have big social media, but he uses it to get where he's going.
So, I originally had a problem with, and you can relate, John, because of who he used to date.
Logan Paul.
Do you know who he used to date?
I don't know who he
used to date. Somebody in the MCU.
Really?
Yeah, Chloe Bennett.
Oh, really? He dated
Quake.
Okay.
And that pissed me off because she's extremely attractive.
And a fan favorite of yours.
Yeah.
She's, she gets a 5-star rating.
If you could add like extra, probably. I'd
just 7.5.
But yeah, so I originally didn't like him with that, and then they broke up. And then I saw a slim chance, but then my chance went away. But they separated themselves. And then following him on social media, he's just a very dynamic person, like creating it like we're talking about. But then I also do sports cards, and I'm in that whole realm. And he went on Whatnot and literally almost shut the app down because he brought so much traffic because he opened Pokemon cards. So I think if they do it right, and now having somebody at head of creative that can maybe help do it right, I think Logan Paul could be a draw.
Oh, yeah, I agree as well.
I think he's going to be...
Yeah. He needs some polishing. He definitely needs some polishing. He needs to work out the kinks. I think I agree with you as well, Joey. Putting him in there with The Miz also helps to hide some of those deficiencies. I mean, that is one thing that, as you said, whether you like the character or not, you do have to give credit that I agree with you as well, that The Miz is a pretty decent worker. He can get a good match out of a lot of people that we've said in the past, this is going to be a train wreck. And all the stars are aligning for this match to be a pretty good one, I guess is what I'm saying.
Concur.
Well, when you have a celebrity, you have a low standard. And I think this is going to be way over that. We didn't think much of Bad Bunny.
No.
He had some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Who also came in through The Miz.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So, Rand, who do you think goes over?
I got Logan Paul. I think there's going to be more to this than just this weekend.
I agree. I picked Logan Paul as well because I think you keep the momentum on him, and I think that you continue this feud. Yeah, I think we're not going to see the last of Logan Paul.
Hi, boys are owning wrestling, fellas.
Did you see the tweet real quick? I don't know, please excuse me if you are listening to this and you're the person that put that tweet. I apologize. I don't remember your name or your handle, but the individual that tweeted out, if I wanted to see a guy from Westlake fight a guy from Parma, mm-hmm. I would just go down to West 25th Avenue. I thought that was goddamn hilarious.
I saw it as well.
Really liked it. Yeah, Matt, props to whoever tweeted that out, but that shit was funny.
But your fans in Switzerland have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
That's right,
about.
The fans in Switzerland, yeah.
A couple Cleveland boys going at it over over who was a better quarterback for the Browns. Who was the bigger douchebag for the Browns, Johnny Manziel or Baker Mayfield? That debate.
I thought you were gonna say best quarterback Bernie Kosar or Brian Sipe.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the match for the WWE Raw
Mike
Women's.
Mike Pagels.
Oh, I'm going with Sperling Wynn.
Jesus Christ!
Not even worth getting his name right.
Good Lord, we're going deep on this. Jeez. Okay. Any other Tim Couch references or anything else you want
to
add?
I think
there?
You need to get one of those two quarterbacks you just mentioned on the PVD cast.
Okay. All right. I'll work
I
on
think
it.
Brady Quinn is calling in right now.
Oh, if only Colt McCoy would join us. Anyways. All right. Singles match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. We got Bianca Belair defending against Becky Lynch. I'll go first. I really think that they're going to keep the belt on Bianca. I think that they're keeping this momentum moving. But I do see maybe, say, Survivor Series, maybe even Royal Rumble time, I see Bex getting the belt back. I think they're going to be transitioning towards WrestleMania and having Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, one more time. That's how I feel, so. Joey, you think I'm wrong. I can tell from the look on your face.
So I think the WWE women's division right now is as stale as two-week-old bread.
I agree with that.
So here's what I see. Maybe I have too much faith in Triple H, but I think we see Sasha Banks come back soon.
Okay.
She's a Triple H gal, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Bailey's going to be back soon. Now, Alexa Bliss, who doesn't know how to cover anybody, but is, can still draw as a champion, so you're having more of these people come into the mix. Who do we go back? Who do we think wins? Bianca wins, all right? But I think Bianca loses the belt on a random Monday Night Raw to somebody else between now and the end of the year.
Okay.
Just because because we're going to see the change in creative and you're going to start seeing other people added and do this, that, and the third.
And a surprise. Oh, look what you missed on Raw last week. We have a new women's champion. I mean, that says to me Triple H booking.
But yeah, I think Bianca's going to go over big time Bex. I think it's going to be an interesting match. Now, you know, they've had a year now to get their shit together. That first match was just horrible, how it happened. And their main match wasn't that good. I mean, we talked about that. So I think this is going to be a sleeper match on the card. I think they're both ready to go and ready to rock this. I think one of the things that's been fun watching Bianca with the belt is watching her character evolve, too. She's got some kahunas with her promos. I like where they're going with her with that. But, yeah, I know I'm all over the board, but I think Bianca's going to win.
And you know what? Real quickly, before, Ran, I go to you. One thing I do appreciate, yes, I agree with you. I think Bianca Belair's character is getting to be better. It's getting into its final form, if you will. I also enjoy the fact that Becky Lynch is just bonkers crazy with the wardrobe and the promos. I mean, shit, last night she looked like a reject from Blade Runner 2049.
I thought she looked like a leftover from the Jetsons.
Yeah, there you go.
She looked like she was cosplaying Bjork as a Jetson. That's what I was thinking. So, literally, I'm sitting down watching wrestling, and I look at Mrs. Blaze, let's just say. I look at Bridget, and she's like, who the fuck is that? And I go, that's Becky Lynch. And she's just like, I don't think that is. I'm like, yeah. And then she talks. She's like, oh, now I hear her speak. So she's changed her look and altered her look so much as some of these casual fans that haven't watched her are having a hard time recognizing her. So she's great at evolving her character. It's like her and her man are trying to one-up each other with the evolution of their character.
I want to know what thrift shop those people are shopping at. Because they've got something every week.
Speaking of thrift shops, they go to Rag-A-Rama. I mean, why don't you drop that one in there, John, since you keep dropping all these random things in here.
Wait a minute, first of all, is Rag-A-Rama? Is Rag-A-Rama still around?
As they take their clothes off from Rag-A-Rama, Seth uses Blue Chew. I mean, just go ahead and throw that one out there, too.
Blue Chew is not an official sponsor of the PBD cast,
but
it can be. Just let me know, guys.
For the low, low price.
Anyways, Saran, what do you think about this match?
I'll go on Becky Lynch. I think she's going so nuts that she'll do something drastic.
Ooh, okay.
And we might just have, not only the people you mentioned, we might have a surprise. Is Charlotte Flair ready?
See, that was some of the things that I was going to bring up, not this time, but with the next women's match. You know, we do have Charlotte that's ready, and we've talked about Edge, we've talked about Bayley, we've talked about Bray Wyatt returning. We have all these question marks as to people returning. Does Gargano come back? I know... You know, that would probably be more of an NXT type of deal. But
why?
Maybe, maybe with the change in, you know, leadership, maybe he's right on the SmackDown brand or the Raw brand or whatnot.
You know, for the first time in our lives, there's somebody different on the top.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This could be a huge pivot.
I said this last Friday when I did the breaking news segment on Pop Culture Cosmos with Gerald Glassford. When the story broke, he did a special edition on there, asked me to come on and give my 2 cents worth. I said, this is the biggest news story in professional wrestling history ever. Hands down. Vince McMahon is retiring.
Since WCW went out of business easily.
I say this is even bigger than that. I say this is bigger than when Hogan turned and joined the NWO, because that was pretty big. This is the biggest news story ever, hands down.
And yet it's inevitable. The man is 77.
True.
We're going to see people that Vince liked be put down. We're going to see people that Vince disliked come back. We're going to see people that Triple H liked emerge.
I think you're going to see Kevin Nash involved in WWE. I think he's going to be involved in creative. I threw that one out. just because he's a very creative mind. He's a booker. So if we're going to dig deep into this, do you think this was supposed to happen earlier than Triple H had his heart issue and it got pushed back? People are like, oh, the timing with the accusations. But when you look at it, I kind of think it might be something that maybe was supposed to have happened earlier, but they had to push it back because of Triple H's heart issues.
Which was last Christmas time? Last fall?
It was like last fall, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say it was towards the tail end of 2021, yeah.
Because, I mean, if all this was already set in place, like, it was like lickety-split. I'm retiring. These two guys are guy and girl, their co-CEO, and then Triple H is going to run creative.
I don't know. That's a very good question to ask, Joe. I really don't know. You know, part of the thing, too, that we've been told by the media was that there were some upset feelings at the fact that NXT couldn't beat AEW. I don't know how much faith to put in that.
But yet, a Seinfeld episode that airs at 2 in the morning beat Rampage in the ratings.
Well. You know what, I'm not even going to go down that track, because I think Rampage is a different animal than Dynamite. So that doesn't surprise me that a repeat of the Twilight Zone on, you know, MeTV out.
Tune in now for Cagney and Lacey, only on MeTV.
I'll never know which one's Cagney, which one's Lacey.
How? That would be a sweet tag team.
Cagney and Lacey?
Yes. Two women, just rename them and call them that.
And never really identify which one's which. Cagney and Lacey one, how do we know?
Look, this could be a great jobber tag team for the women's division. Think about it. I mean, that would be great, Cagney and Lacey.
Tango Cash? Which one was Tango? Which one was Cash?
What about Hardcastle McCormick? Oh, we're bringing all the 80s TV references.
Edge, Sexton Hardcastle? I like it.
Heart to Heart?
All on MeTV.
There you go. Anywho, okay. Let's
which can be your sponsor? I'm sorry.
Wait, there's another podcast I do that's much better fit for MeTV than this one.
And which one would that be?
That would be Matt Talk, ladies and gentlemen. It is where Jason and I, my partner Jason Taylor, of course, and I sit down every second and fourth Monday of the month and review and discuss and even poke fun at a fantastic episode of Matlock, ladies and gentlemen. So tune in through anchor.fm/MattTalk, or you can find us online. Matt Talk Podcast on Facebook, yes. And of course, Matt Talk_podcast on
Twitter. I would love to see a conversation on how Fletch Lives is very, it's like it could be in the Matlock universe. I think that would be an interesting conversation.
I think it'd be great if Matlock went on vacation to Cabot Cove and somehow solved one of the mysteries of Murder, She Wrote.
Can we get back to...
Did they ever do a crossover?
No, they never did a crossover, no. But we do award actors.
I smell money.
We do award a special nod to those actors that have done the hat trick, where they've appeared on an episode of Matlock, Murder, She Wrote, and Perry Mason. So let's get back on track, because about half the listeners are like, shut the fuck up and get back to it.
All right.
SummerSlam. Get down to it. SummerSlam this weekend, huh?
All right, let's move on to the match that I think is the hardest one to call, to be honest with you. This afternoon, while trying to select who I think would win, this one was really tough. Riddle taking on Seth freaking Rollins. Rand, let's start with you. What do you think about this match?
I saw an article that this year, this calendar year, Seth Rollins has lost 50 times.
And is still as strong as ever.
True.
He's one of the few guys that I think can take those many L's and still be a top guy.
Yeah.
He lost 3 in a row to Cody with half an arm.
Well, yeah, on that last one, yeah.
Yeah, and but
that shows you his entertaining value.
Well, and Joey, you mentioned it. He has reinvented himself, going from what I liked the Monday Night Messiah. I know a lot of people did not like that character and they shit all over it, but I liked it. But this new, like...
Joker.
Yeah, like, he's just over-the-top ridiculous, like, partly like a pimp, partly like Austin Powers, partly like... I don't even know what else, man.
I think he's a character from the Batman TV show.
He's that over-the-top.
And he's going against Riddler?
No.
But it's funny that you say that. I was listening to a DDP's Snake Pit today as I was driving down to my mom's and back, and we were talking about what does it take to make a baby face, and they always say, you know, they talked about what they took. So DDP said, you know, with what he took with everything, he took, he's part Hennig, part DiBiase, part Jake, part Funk, and he said part somebody else, I can't remember. But he said you take these and then you take something like that, you come up with a TV character or whatever, and then you start to blend it, and he said it's a really good, I just love listening to Jake the Snake talk. Like, I could listen to Jake Roberts talk all the time. But it's one of those things. So what's great about Seth is his mind is so creative, is he can take all those things. And maybe you're right, Rand. Maybe he's at home watching TV, and that pops up, and he's like, oh, that's cool. So he takes a little bit of this, sprinkles a little bit of that, and he's like, I'm going to wear clothes to be annoying, and boom. So it's cool. The master of it is Jericho. The master of recreating yourself and reestablishing yourself and always evolving is Jericho, but I think Seth Rollins is the close second.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
So as far as who wins the match, though, I think Riddle wins.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Do we see Randy?
Well,
going on with Randy? Like, I haven't been paying much attention to that.
My prediction is that Riddle does win, but I have this feeling that someone, more than likely Kevin Owens, tries to interfere. Orton appears out of the crowd, RKO, distraction to Rollins, and that allows Matt Riddle to hit an RKO, 1, 2, 3.
That's a beautiful way to book it. Hey, Randy!
Yeah. I mean, but that's a good question. I don't know what the status of Orton is. I do not know at this particular point, but I think that, you know, Riddle's obviously somebody that they're pushing a little bit. I think you have to put him over.
So speaking of Orton, on one of these podcasts, his wife went on. I don't know if you read this or whatever.
Yeah. No.
Did you know what I'm getting ready to say?
Oh, yeah.
So I guess early in her dating with Randy, they showed MSG and they're getting it on in this room. In 2013, if anybody off that roster walks in while you're getting it on with your woman, who would be the most scary person to do it?
The Boogeyman.
Big Show walked in there in the middle of what they were doing. Like, how funny and how mortified would you be? Like, oh, my God, like...
And then a security guard from MSG walked in on him.
Dude, did he not have the bus yet? Probably didn't. I was going to say he probably did, but I mean, okay.
She's funny though, man. Like, she is quite the ball of fire.
Oh, well, look, with all due respect, I think you'd have to be a very strong-willed woman to be with Randy Orton, to live with him, to be married to him, you know, have kids with him, you know, I think they do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I think she had her own kids, too.
Right. I knew there was a set of children to another relationship.
Stepdaddy.
All right, let's move on to the other women's match, and that is, of course, the singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. The champion, Liv Morgan, takes on Ronda Rousey. Rand, what do you think, man?
I like the way Liv used the Money in the Bank cash-in. I thought that was great. I think a lot of people backstage liked it. I don't put a whole lot of faith in part-time workers like Ronda Rousey. So I'm going with Liv Morgan.
Okay. Joey, what say you?
So we've seen that before. With Liv as Alexa 2.0. Like, Alexa did the same thing, right? I mean, she's blonde. She's got a great butt. Whatever. Like, that's just... So she did the same thing. There's nothing new there. But I like Liv. Okay, don't get me wrong. I think... But she's not a champion. She's like, you know what? She can't. This is her dream. And this said, yeah, let's just give it to her for a little bit. And then we're going to take it back off of her. And I think she loses to Ronda Rousey.
I can name 4 or 5 women who deserve it more than her.
Oh, hands down. That's just my opinion. And I'm not trying to dog her. I like her. She's an all right talent, but she's not a champion.
Rand, what do you, who did you pick? Are you picking Liv? Okay. I'm going with Liv as well because of, again, what I stated earlier, and I think, I know we disagree on this, Joey, but I think we are still heading to a Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey match at WrestleMania, so I think they keep the belt on Liv for a little bit longer. I think within the next couple months she does drop it because I agree with you in terms of the backstory doesn't have legs. Okay, you were the kid that loved wrestling and you had a hard life and you made it to NXT and yada yada. That's great.
And
that's,
you slept with Enzo Amore.
Oh, now allegedly, all of that being said, I think that and I would say that for a babyface male competitor, that only has a shelf life of so long, and then you have to move on and find something else. All right.
So who would you compare it to as a male babyface?
Who would be the male?
Ooh, good question.
Who's the equivalent of Liv Morgan?
I would say Chris Melendez would be the one from Impact Wrestling that I think would fit the bill.
Well, I'm just shooting like, I know.
And then Lacey Evans. And this is why I don't dig the Lacey Evans return, because that's all great that you had it's not great, but your storyline is that you've had a rough childhood, you made it to WWE.
It's
the same thing as Liv, and you're on the same brand, so...
I'm not talking like the backpack story. I'm just talking about where they're at right now. Like, she ascended way too far up the ladder. Like, she skipped way too many...
Who, moves. Liv?
Yes.
Okay.
So...
Well, I mean, part of that is, too... And I don't know, maybe you'll agree or disagree. There's no mid-card title for the women.
Which I think they're missing out on. I think they need to merge the two women's titles.
Yes.
And then do a secondary title.
Yes.
I think that would be
like a WWE TV champion. But it's only the women, you know, it can have
USA
it. You know. Right. There you go.
I mean, they got the TBS and
right. There you
TNT. Maybe we need to get the women's tag team back.
Yeah, that's kind of been lost in obscurity, too. But they just throw people together. Like you said, it's
spare parts.
Booking, yeah. Like I said, I think Liv holds on to the belt in a few months, though. She does drop it back to Ronda Rousey. And we are going to be forced to watch another Rousey versus Lynch matchup at WrestleMania. Whether that's what we want or not remains to be seen. All right, let's move on to the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match, where you have the Usos versus the Street Profits. And Jeff Jarrett.
Why?
Is going to be your special referee.
That's JERRERET. God, I love saying that.
And I will throw it out there. My favorite podcast out in the airwaves is My World with Jeff Jarrett. I find it always to be a fantastic episode. I'm going to put that over. I don't care. You can call me a mark, whatever. Doesn't matter. Love the Jeff Jarrett podcast.
Because he just knows the business.
Yeah.
He is the business.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
His knowledge of it, and he's better when he's teamed with Conrad, when they get one of these jabrones on there, interview him. It's not the same. But in last past one, because they're putting over the last match, whatever. God, Jarrett is just, I would love to sit under the knowledge tree and just listen to, like, if he did not like a stand-up, but if he did like a
seminar.
Oh, God.
TED Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, he did that, those couple of episodes about the feud with the Moondogs. Actually, I'm sorry, that was one episode.
Yep.
I apologize. I was confusing it with the USWA ones. But that one episode with the Moondogs where they had all the clips and they had procured like a YouTube. For three nights in a row, I would come home from work, I'd turn on those matches and just watch. You know, Jarrett and, you know, because he had a lot of different tag partners. Jerry Lawler, he had Billy Travis for one. I think he had, you know, he had a bunch of them. And I was glued to it. I was glued to
that. And that's the best part is getting the inside of those wrestlers.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like learning more about the Billy Joe Travises or
the
Bill Dundees and the Moondogs.
Yeah.
That's great. So, but why is he there, Rand? It's because he works for them now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and why
in
not?
Nashville.
In Nashville.
Okay. The next night is the Ric Flair final match with Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and Andrade.
Andrade, yes.
Any chance there's crossover there?
No. I think they allow... Well, number one, I'm not sure, but I assume that if you're a front office person in WWE, you have a totally different contract than talent. So I'm assuming there's some flexibility with that contract that's going to allow Jeff to come and do this one last thing. Plus, it's Flair.
Yeah.
I think that even the WWE may have some hurt feelings still from Flair's last run. They still would go, it's Flair. Let him go.
I was just thinking maybe Flair somehow gets involved Saturday night and they have his final match on Sunday night.
Well, I'll just throw out my prediction here real quick. I think the Street Profits win. They win the tag titles because I think Jeff gets involved somehow, either with a guitar or.
Oh, we're going to see a guitar.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's going to lead to the switch, and then maybe in a couple of months the Usos regain those belts.
I can definitely see that. I that was my prediction too. There's some sort of schmoz with a guitar and the Street Profits win. But I think if you're to book that, I think after the match, after he does his little thing where he puts his two fingers in the air and he walks back, it would be cool to see Flair like come out of the crowd or somewhere and take him out. But you can't, it can only be Flair, it can't be Andrade because Andrade's on EAW.
Right.
So,
same with Jay Lethal.
So, you know, it'd be cool to see something like that and to put it over without putting it over and giving them an extra push for it. But I doubt they'll have anything.
They've had some great matches.
They have had some really, they've had some solid matches. I wouldn't say that they, I mean, the ones that they've had on TV have been good. I wasn't a big fan of the last one at Money in the Bank just because it went forever. 23 minutes is way too much for a tag team title match. Just way too much. Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing that we have to talk about. Are we ever going to see the Montez Ford turn on Angelo Dawkins, or are they just going to have like a, for lack of a better term, more mutual parting? Whenever that time comes.
I think whenever he goes to get his hair cut, I think we're going to see the barbershop window reappear. Look it up, kids.
I think it'll be more of a mutual thing, but if you've noticed, too, they've been doing more of showcasing both of them singularly.
Right.
Like, you see more of Montez, and then they're trying to really put over how athletic Dawkins is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's coming soon, but I like the idea of them giving one last run.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's what causes them to lose the titles again. And
right.
There's, we need
to yeah, makes perfect sense.
Do they split up before they get the title or after they get the title?
I say after they get the
after
title.
After they get the
makes
title,
sense.
A couple pay-per-views down the road, they lose and then they split up.
All right, before we talk about the final three matches on SummerSlam, I think I need to let the listeners know all about a great sponsor of the PVD cast.
This is an actual sponsor.
This is an actual sponsor.
Okay.
Yes, this is... Great. Now I'm going to get heat with World's Greatest Comics.
Why? No, you were talking about other stuff. I'm not trying to get you heat with the good people over there at World's Greatest Comics, who has an insane selection of Marvel Legends.
I know. You're a big fan of this selection.
I love action figures. And
I know.
They have a huge selection of Marvel Legends figures over there.
Well, anyways, not only do they have Marvel action figures over there, but they also have, of course... a plethora of single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles. I just saw the other day on their Facebook page, Jeff posted that they got a copy of a very, very rare issue of The Flash. They have it there. They got high-end stuff. They got tons of back issues. They've got everything you need for your comic book fandom. So look, if you live in Central Ohio, you have no excuse. You need to stop over at the store. 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is their street address. And you can even find them online, WGComics.com, or check them out on Facebook. Just search for at WGE Comics.
So I just got done finishing the new season of The Boys.
Recently. I did too, by the way.
And you're finally caught up.
Yes, I am.
You've watched Herogasm.
Yeah, I have.
You've watched The Deep.
Yes.
Bangin' Octopus.
Right.
We've seen... termites sneeze inside a guy's penis.
Right, correct.
So, all these great scenes, am I going to be able to get the comics from The Boys there?
Absolutely you are.
Fantastic. I might have to look into that.
Sign me up.
I think when I said termite, sneeze, penis...
That's what did it for Rand. He's like, yes, I'm going to go over to World's Greatest and get
not to
all of
ruin it
issues.
For people out there. Let's rewind a second. And I know this is a wrestling podcast. So what would you say? Is season three the best of the three seasons?
Ooh. I would go that it was damn good. I still liked season one. I thought season one was really good. I'd say three is a close second. Oh, man. You put me on the spot.
All right.
Three was good. I liked three. I think there's a lot that they did in the last few episodes that makes me very curious as to what's going to happen next season.
That season finale pissed me off, though, with Starlight. Like, yeah. It was anticlimactic when she... So, anyways, yes. So, I love Soldier Boy. Like, that character is hilarious. He talks about broads, chicks.
Because he's from the 1950s.
I love it, right?
He's Don Draper as a superhero.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. So, guys, if you haven't seen that, no endorsement there, but definitely go check out my friend Al, which is surprising because he watches everything. He consumes everything superheroes. He hadn't watched it. He literally binge-watched it one weekend just so he could talk to me about it. Watched all three seasons.
And let me just throw it out there. The comic book is even better than the TV show. And I know people...
Isn't Herogasm an island and not a house?
Yes, it is an island. Yes, okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. And they write all the superheroes out of the comics and all the movies and everything because they are kind of like... If I remember correctly, they're off-world fighting an evil... And no, they're on an island having lots of sex and doing lots of drugs and all kinds of chicanery. So
it's amazing.
It is. God bless Garth Ennis. All right, let's talk
about... Well, that kind of ties in, you know, a great segue. That sounds like 80s wrestling right there. Lots of drugs, lots of sex. And in the middle, Butch Reed just playing in the snow, baby.
All right, let's talk about the WWE United States Championship match. We have, of course, the champion, Bobby Lashley, defending against Theory. I'm just going to throw this out there. My prediction is this. I think Theory wins. I think you have to keep the momentum with him because he is the holder of the Money in the Bank briefcase. Joey, what say you?
So who helps him win? There's nothing believable about Austin Theory beating Bobby Lashley.
True, very true.
Nothing, and I know that's we gotta throw money in the jar when we talk about that. There's just something has to happen for him to win. So what is that catalyst, or what is it? Is it another wrestler?
Omos?
Maybe. I mean,
Omos has moved on. I think they've moved on from that feud.
I agree, and I'll go for a deep dive. This is my wacky prediction: Cedric Alexander interferes and costs Bobby the match.
I can see something, and that would be great. If it's not booked that way, then what the hell are we doing?
Right. No,
because,
I agree.
And plus, Theory became a really good chicken shit heel.
Yes.
Oh, he's everybody's punching bag right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But keeps winning. So
yes.
It's going to be interesting how the book, he can't go over clean in this match. But I see Theory taking it back. To go with what you said, to keep the momentum, and Lashley doesn't need that title.
No,
and you get that title off him, you get him set up to feud with somebody else. If somebody else interferes, obviously, so I say Theory wins as well.
Ran,
I think MVP interferes. I think
really?
Maybe he comes out with his walking cane, and
maybe he's representing somebody else.
I don't know. I think that's.
It
could happen. I agree with Joey. I think they've moved on from that feud. I think Omos and MVP are moving on from that. Sharan, who do you think goes over?
Well, I keep it on Lashley, but under strange circumstances. Maybe Theory gets disqualified by hitting him with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Okay, that I can see that. That would be a good way out of predicament of how you make...
How does he lose
and
not get hurt?
How does he lose and not hurt his character? I agree. All right, Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin. Joey, let's start with you.
I'm excited for this one.
Okay.
And it's not because of Happy Corbin. That doesn't make me happy at all. But I like Pat McAfee. I'm going to say McAfee. That's stuff that keeps your computer clean, right?
Well, you're also thinking about the Carolina Panthers running back.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's maybe what
CMC.
Yeah.
So Pat McAfee.
McAfee.
Okay. Pat Shakafee. No, Pat McAfee. So anyways, ever since he had that match with Adam Cole, he has surprised me. And I think that he's going to go out and he is Shane McMahon now.
Good comparison.
Good analogy.
Yeah.
So he's going to be the one who's going to do some crazy stuff, but only do it every once in a while. So we're going to see some cool stuff from this match. I think he wins.
Okay.
Which caused Baron Corbin probably to beat him down afterwards, and then maybe some other NFL players save him or something.
They're in Nashville.
You know what? Funny you mention that, because I had an idea of Frank Wycheck getting involved somewhere, former Tennessee Titans tight end. Who was in Impact in TNA, yeah.
Music City Miracle.
That's right. So I actually thought about that.
So I think you probably see some other football players involved, probably making the save after
McAfee.
After Pat McAfee.
Or Matt McAfee.
Ooh, I like that. Matt McAfee. After he wins, and then Happy beats him down, and then some other NFL like people, like A.J. Hawk, because that's who was involved. A.J. Hawk was one of the guys when he was in NXT, and he's on the podcast.
Okay. First of all, I just would like to tell all the listeners, it's a good thing Joey doesn't review any New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-views, because he can't say Pat McAfee. He certainly would not be able to say
Ichiku no kawaka naka.
Come on, I want to lay you. I just want ECW on you.
See, Dick Togo, I can say that.
Kayentai.
Choppy, choppy. Right?
Oh, thank you for that. Dick Togo reference on the PBD cast.
Not only have you heard the term micropenis tonight on your podcast.
Yeah.
Now you have Dick Togo.
Is that Togo?
No, it's Togo.
Anyways, Rand, what say you about McAfee versus Corbin?
I think we all enjoy Happy Corbin's misfortunes. And he's going to have some more because McAfee is going to win.
So, I can't fucking stand Happy Corbin.
I can't either.
And the fact that you care that much about him means he's doing his,
not really,
his job.
It's a different type of
heel
heat.
Different heat?
It's like X-Pac heat.
Yeah, it's go-away heat.
Where do you think he goes? Is he a Triple H guy? Do you think Trips is... Because he was a Vince guy, obviously. Vince loved him. You look great, pal. Like, he's got, you know, the big football. But I don't think Trips is that interested in him. So, it's going to see where his character goes from.
Well, I think that they had, as much as I hated the characters, I think you had him in a pretty good tag team with Madcap Moss, even though I hated the whole characters. And I'm going to throw it out there. I think we need just a regular masked tag team to be involved in professional wrestling somewhere. I'm talking about, you know, bring back the Assassins, the Executioners, the Galaxians, you know, the Cruel Connection, the Thunderfoots 1 and 2. We need one of those. And there you go.
Tech support.
Tech support as well, yes.
Yes, bring them.
My own concoction. But there you go. I don't know what they do with Happy Corbin if he loses here. I have no idea. Even with the regime change, I don't know. I have no clue.
I just don't get how they made all these cuts. And they keep him, and then they let some of the talent go.
I know. Absolutely.
I'll never understand
bonkers.
That.
By the way, I'm going 3-for-3. Pat McAfee is your winner. I think he's got the skills to get it done in the ring. It's believable. He's proven that in all those other matches that he's had. I think the fans appreciate him. He's got the momentum. I say Pat McAfee. All right. Now we're down to the main event. Last man standing match. For the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Last time ever.
How many have there been? Because I thought there were 7.
Now, that's a great question. I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
But they're almost backed into a corner that these two are so much ahead of everybody else. Because you let people like Braun Strowman go, Samoa Joe go. Who else is in their category?
That's true, but I think here's how I look at it. We've used the term spare parts before. Brock Lesnar is in Cody Rhodes' spot. This was supposed to be Cody Rhodes, but Cody got injured. So Brock Lesnar, and this is going to upset a lot of people, is going to beat Roman Reigns. And here's why he's going to beat Roman Reigns. Roman is going to go do some movies. He's going to take some time off. So what a better way to write him out of a storyline than a last man standing match where he gets knocked the fuck out,
you know,
and he gets beat up. So I don't think Lesnar holds the title for a long time. I think this is going to be weird, but I think Lesnar's going to be a transitional champion.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
We've teased the Paul Heyman term many times. Could this be it?
No, I don't think he switches again.
No.
I don't think so. By the way, you were right. 7 matches they have had.
Pay-per-views?
There was a mixed bag. Okay. Some live events, pay-per-views. There was one that was a triple threat, I believe. So from So it's been seven times. Joey, what you say makes perfect sense. And you said that you think that Brock goes over. Look, in the era, but I'm going to go that I think Reigns goes over for two reasons. One, after the supposed walkout of Brock Lesnar, do you trust him to have the belt? And number two, Roman could go do movies because it's not like we don't have halftime participants as it is on the WWE roster.
I agree, but I you can see, and as much as often as he wrestles lately, but I think he's going to do, because, you know, he's came out in those house shows, sounds like he's going to be gone for a little bit. And I think what's great with what he does is when he leaves and he's going to come back, he's going to want to have the fans wanting more for him to come back. He got so much pop last night, and he's not supposed to be a baby.
Huge in New York.
He was over really large. So I think it all falls into place. Street Profits take the tag titles. Brock beats Roman. There's no titles there. And then that big comeback starts at the Royal Rumble. You have the whole year off, and then the whole comeback comes at the end of for that whole group.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay.
All right. Is it what I want? Fuck no. I don't want to see another belt on Lesnar. But I think, like I said, this was supposed to be Cody Rhodes' spot because Cody was going to take the belt and have a huge Mania match. He was going to carry it to Mania and whatever. So what I see is, I know it's the last time, but somewhere something happens and Roman gets the belt back, and then that's when we see Roman versus Rock at Mania.
Rand, what do you think?
If Brock Lesnar wins, who's capable of taking it from him?
Well, that's a great question as well, Rand, because they built no one. I mean, Omos is the only person
physically
that could do it. Drew McIntyre, maybe.
Riddle.
Oh,
Bobby Lashley?
Lashley, maybe. Riddle.
They want that Lesnar-Riddle match. They're holding on to it because there's a legit heat.
Didn't he have one? I think he had a match on a SmackDown that if you won, you got a title shot.
Oh, yeah. No. But was that against Lesnar?
No.
No,
was that against Roman?
Yeah, I think it was a non-title versus Roman.
And they're slowly building his character for that. Randy, you could put in something like that.
I don't know. I agree with you, Rand. I don't think there's anybody they've built that would be strong enough. That wouldn't be somebody we've already seen, too. I mean, we've seen McIntyre. We've seen, you know, Riddle is the only one that we haven't seen in this scenario.
And we got new creative. So that's, you know, true. You got to throw that into the mix, too.
True. Very true. All right. Well, gentlemen, with that being said, we're going a little bit long here. Next week, we'll reconvene and see if our predictions were correct or if they were not correct and see what we thought about the overall show. So with that, DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you online?
Well, it depends on what they're looking for. I guess that's kind of weird to say. I do my feet pics on OnlyFans. No. So remixcollectibles.com, you can find me on there. Not to want to compete with any sponsors or anything, but we're getting more deep into collectibles such as Funko, wrestling action figures, sports cards. So we're on Whatnot doing that stuff, but you can find all of my links on there for that if you're interested in such a thing. Or if you just want to shout out and tell me how terrible I am or my opinions suck, at DJ Joey Blaze on Twitter.
When you first said that it depends on what you're looking for, I was half tempted to yell out, how about a set of hubcaps for an 82 Scirocco? But I did not. Anyways.
I didn't yell out Dick Togo.
Is that to go?
I think this needs to be sponsored by Dick Togo. This episode needs to be sponsored by him. And by the way, Mr. Togo, if you're out there, you have an open invitation to come on the PVD cast. Anyways, Rand, how about you?
Oh, I am at that darn Twitter at Rand Dittmar.
All right.
What about that YouTube?
That YouTube channel? The secret YouTube channel?
The YouTube's up to 120 subscribers.
Oh, he hit triple digits.
No word of mouth.
No word of mouth?
Tales of the Golden Ghetto.
I'll tell you right now, this is... Rand is always bringing surprises to the table, is he not?
He probably murdered somebody before.
Ooh, hey now.
What? Oh, sorry, he's right there. My bad.
All right, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, giving their 2 cents worth on what they think might go down this weekend in Nashville at SummerSlam. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, chock full of wrestling opinions, but nonetheless, if you think one of those opinions is wrong, is not correct, or is correct, you can let me know by contacting me a variety of different ways. First, you could shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. Or you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you can also leave me a note over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. It is @pvdcast. And there you have it. All the ways that you can get in touch with me to let me know what you think about this episode or any episode for that matter. Additionally, you might want to tell some folks where they can hear the PVD cast, and there's a bunch of ways you can do that as well. Obviously, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is an easy way to hear each and every episode, but it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets, you know, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. Just go to the search bar, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And if you listen to an episode, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And you know what? Don't forget to subscribe as well so you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And lastly, maybe you need one further easy way to listen to this great podcast. Well, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yours truly does a live broadcast through the Facebook page. And you can listen there, all right? If you are working late at night or you're maybe doing laundry or whatnot, you can pop open your phone, you can pop open your tablet, and you can listen by going to @PVDcast and just check out what episode is playing. And if you have questions, concerns, comments, you can drop them in the comment section and I will answer them as well. It's a fun opportunity and another easy way to hear the weekly episode of the PVDcast. Hey, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, if you could please check out the new project that Jason, Justin, and I are doing, the Patreon for Larry Hankin. Again, it's patreon.com/Larry Hankin. Check out some of the cool free preview stuff that we have. Check out the tiers that are up. As I said, we're learning as we go. I know there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be mess ups and whatnot, but stick with us, folks. And we'll make sure that you get all of the great content we have coming for that Patreon project. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's about time for me to get on out of here. So I thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.